Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
All right. If you've been with us, you've been following with us, you know that we have been in a series. And we're in a series about the dilemma in Christianity. And last week I talked to you about the dilemma in the church. And so we've been dealing with the dilemmas that come up now that the world's squeezing in on the church and trying to tell the church what to do and so forth and so on. And I said to you in the beginning of this series that the word dilemma means this. It'll be on the screen. It means situations requiring a choice between two hard choices. So when you're in a dilemma, in the series we've said, whenever a person has to make a choice and both choices are hard, that's a dilemma. If one was easy, what would you naturally do? You'd go to the easy one. But the church is in a dilemma. The body of Christ in America is in a dilemma. She's not quite sure what to do. Her leaders are not quite sure what to do. And so it's a dilemma. And churches in our world are now in that dilemma. Do we obey God or do we obey man? Do we obey the word of the Lord or in the scriptures, or do we obey the presence of community and government? So today we're going to deal with, and the title of today's message is The Dilemma of Secular Christianity. That'll get your heart started, okay? So if you understand the word secular, secular means this. It'll be on the screen. Attitudes, thinking, opinions with no religious or spiritual basis or value. When something is secular, it has no, it thinks in no spiritual or religious terms. That's why when we say a secular government, okay, and that's what we call separation of church and state. But now what we're going to deal with today is the dilemma of secular Christianity. And that term secular means no spiritual value. How many things are taking place in the body of Christ and being tested right now? And we have to weigh the fact that the decisions we make cannot be secular. They must always be based on God's word. And so when we make decisions, they can't be secular. They must be in obedience to God's laws over man's laws. Now, before you think we're going to talk about rebellion and revolt and riot, just take a chill pill and settle down for a minute, okay? You know, unlock, unload, all right, just get settled, okay? So do we obey the laws of man or do we obey the laws of God? Now, obviously, you think you know the decision, the answer to that. But we really need to address that today because secular Christianity is being dealt with right now in America. Those who use Jesus as a crutch and those who see Jesus using them, they don't use him. And that's a whole different matter. So today we're going to deal with water baptism. What does that have to do with secular Christianity? Well, hang on, because water baptism is actually addressing the issue of secular Christianity because it involves the kingdom of God inside of us while the kingdom of man is on the outside. And so in the process, you might say, well, wait a minute, I've been baptized in water. How does this fit me? You better hang on. Don't you dare check out if you've been baptized in water because we need to really deal with this issue. So I want to give you image number one, and forgive me for the hand-done, issues. I just wasn't techie enough to do it really fancy. So here's the issue. Here's the dilemma. The dilemma is your life is like a vase, a container. There's your heart. And the world is spinning around your life. And before Jesus, your heart and the heart of the world are one. And you're secular in that sense. So in that sense, water baptism, we're going to see how death and water baptism And the old kingdom is now enthroned by a new king, where a government, when you're born again, actually moves inside your life. And something begins to change. And it's the transition of a constitutional government of this world to the constitutional government of the kingdom of God. And this one overrides the other one, not the other way around. Get this side, okay? Did you get that? This is the constitution of the kingdom of God. And when you're born again, the constitution of the kingdom comes into your life. So let's give you image number two. So now this is what happens. When you're born again, that dark heart is now washed in the blood. Jesus forgives you of your sins. He comes in and gives you eternal life and the hope of eternal life. And now, before, when your heart was dark and black and didn't have Jesus, you didn't have a free will. You did what the world told you to do, and you didn't have any choice. You did what the world told you to do because you were afraid of the laws of man, and you were afraid to do what was going on in your heart. But when you're born again, something happens to you, and now you have a free will. You have a choice. You have the right to make a decision. Do I want to go with God or do I want to go with the world? And so it's important that we understand that, but that also means you have dual kingdoms on the inside of you. There's the kingdom of God on the inside of you, but that's image number three. And image number three is like this. You have a dual kingdom because when you're born again and life comes into your life, you have two constitutions, and you have to make a decision on which one you're going to live by and which one you're going to follow. We see it happening right now in America. We have to make a decision. You right now are violating what you've been told to do. So here's the deal. Do you obey God or do you obey man? And you watch what's happening now, because the pushback in the church in America, you would not believe, there's probably 100 churches open in California right now doing what you're doing. Not because they're saying to the government and to the governor, but because they're saying we are governed by something from within. And it's not out of rebellion. We understand the weight and the consequences of being told we can't worship and come together and enjoy the presence of God. So here's the deal. Now, that was a kid in children's ministry. Okay, so here we go. Now you have the Constitution of the United States of America, and you have the Constitution of the Kingdom of God. Now, I swore an oath to the Constitution, as many of you did in military service. I swore an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. It still holds. But when the Constitution of the United States of America offends the Constitution of the Kingdom of God, the Constitution of the Kingdom of God will always win. Now here's the deal. The Constitution of the Kingdom of Man and the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights can be amended. They're doing it. But the Constitution that's written on our heart in the Kingdom of God by the blood of Jesus is not amendable, doesn't change, and is fixed for eternity. The Constitution of the United States of America, we defend it. The Constitution of the Kingdom of God defends us. So when the government asks us, why do we go against their order? It's because we trust this Constitution, not the Constitution of man. And again, I'm not calling for anarchy. But if you listen carefully to what God's trying to say to the body of Christ. Wow. John 18:36. Watch what it says. 18:36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were over this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence or not from here." Now, I want to be careful here for you to understand that Jesus made that statement when he was under arrest, and Pilate, he was standing before Pilate. And Pilate had heard everybody cry out that they hated Jesus because Jesus, the people were calling him the King of the Jews. And so finally, Pilate in the court and trying Jesus, trying to get out of crucifying Jesus, Pilate says, "Come on, man, are you really a king?" And Jesus said, "You said it." Because people know in their heart who the real king is. And I want you to understand that, you know, savor this for a moment and understand that while Pilate was standing there talking to Jesus and the two kingdoms had now come together to clash, that Pilate's wife had told him the night before, "Pilate, you better not mess with this man." She warned him. She told him, you better stay away from this. This is different. You don't understand what you're dealing with. And I say in all graciousness and in all kindness, the government doesn't know what it's doing when it starts messing with the church of Jesus Christ. I'm not calling for anarchy. That's not what we're looking for. Not looking to do that, but to understand, to learn that we live from an authority from within that was born in us, that is in our heart. And we choose to do what we feel is right, not out of rebellion, but out of a sense of obedience to God. Yes. And if you understand, John 3:16, you know this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." It's interesting that in that statement it says, "For God so loved." That word "loved" there in that verse is not the word for loving people and agape and a sacrificial love. That's not the sacrificial love of God's love for us. That's a different word. That word right there is agapeo, and it means a love in a social and moral sense. Now listen carefully, because so many people have misread this verse. He says, "For God so morally and ethically and socially loves this world." The word "world" there literally translates constitution. Now listen to what the verse says. "For God so loved the world in a moral and ethical sense that he sent his own son for his constitution to be applied in this world." That means this constitution overrides every constitution man can write. Oh, you're getting quiet. You're getting quiet because you think the doors are going to get kicked open and somebody's going to come in and arrest us. Bless us for and no more Acts 2:4, okay? Here we go. Because you've got to come to a place where you recognize you have to stand up for what's right. And when you stand up for what's right, you're doing what the New Testament church did. Why do you think they threw Peter in jail when he healed the guy at the Golden Gate? Because they didn't know what else to do with him. And they knew, you let this keep going and the things of God will take over and rule rather than the rule of man. So in the process, so what does this have to do with water baptism? How does this fit water baptism? Let me give you image 4. Not kids up there again. Okay, image 4. You're born again, but here's the problem. When you're born again, you're genuinely born again. The kingdom of God comes into your life, but you have two hearts. You have a shadow heart behind you, and you have the kingdom born within you. And don't tell me you don't have two hearts, because you do what I do every once in a while and think about doing something stupid. Are you with me? Come on, anybody here ever that's never made a mistake or done something wrong? Because if you raise your hand, I'm going to cast the devil out of you right here. Like, come on. Listen to what's happening. So listen to Romans 7, verse 15 through 25. Now here's Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. And listen, the Apostle Paul, this guy is amazing. He's amazing. He writes two-thirds of the New Testament. And listen to what he does. And he's talking about the two hearts on the inside, the shadow heart and the born-again heart. Now watch what he says. We're going to pick it up in chapter 7, verse 15. Watch this. Verse 15, it says, here we go. Come on, Robert. Okay. I don't really understand myself. This is Paul talking about himself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Oh my goodness, that sounds so familiar. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law is good. So I am not the one doing the wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me, Bob, that once I'm born again, there's still sin going on in my life? You got it. Okay? Because you know you. There's two of you. If you're married, you know there's two of you, and there's somebody to witness to it, okay? Okay, now listen to what he says. Verse 17. So I am not the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. Oh my God, this is Paul. Listen to what he says. That is, in my sinful nature, I want to do what is right, but I can't. Oh God, this sounds so familiar. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Can anybody say amen? Come on. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. You understand? There's two of you. And this is Paul. And he's talking about the reality of life. Now pick it up, verse 21. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what's wrong. I love God's law with all of my heart. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. Watch this, verse 23. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. Hello? Hallelujah. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. I don't care how saved you are. You are just like him. Watch what happens, verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. My goodness. Oh, this hurts reading it out loud. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you understand, government, why we go to church? Because we're dealing with two of us, and when we go to church, we get to make the bad ones sit down and shut up. Okay. Verse 25, thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Now, in the King James Version, Paul says this, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Paul said in the original text that he's dragging along a dead man. He's dragging a dead man along. Okay? Anybody ever felt like that? Now he said, Now, in that day, what Rome would do, they had a form of execution that wasn't necessarily crucifixion. And they would do it with a Roman citizen. If a Roman citizen was tried and found guilty of a crime and sentenced to death because of murder, They would take the body of the person that they murdered and shackle that body to their body and tell them, go live your life. Until the decay and the stench and the maggots and the rot of the world overcame the person that had committed murder, and now they paid the price. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I'm dragging around this dead man, and I need to bury him. And I thank, now listen, water baptism, I thank God in Jesus, I can bury this man. Okay? Can you take a little bit more? Say yes, because I'm going to anyway. Okay. Verse, chapter 6. Okay, chapter 6, real quick. And we're going to go to chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 4. Let's see. We're going to go to verse 4? Yeah, let's go to verse 4. For we died, and we were buried with Christ by what? Watch this. This morning, we're going to take people, they're going to plug their nose, and we're going to lay them down backwards in the water. Now watch what Paul says. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live a new life also. Verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, watch this, we will also be raised to the newness of life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power over our lives. Listen to what happens. When you're baptized in water, you die. You're saying, I'm dying. Old Bob's going to die. Listen, I was in ministry 2 years. 2 years before I got baptized in water. And for the life of me, I was in ministry 2 years. And finally, one day, I just, like, I've never been baptized. And I was dragging around things in my life. You dragging around anything? I was dragging around things in my life. Now, I wasn't lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, you know, cheating on anybody or anything like that. But one day, after baptizing people, one day I decided I needed to be baptized. And I got baptized in water, and I'm telling you, things that I had tried to get rid of went down the drain that day, because that thing died. Those things died in me. They were buried with Jesus. And when I came up out of that water, I was free from those issues. Now, here's the deal. The people that are going to be baptized today are going to say, the government of the kingdom of God will rule my life from this point, and I will not be ruled by the things on the inside of me that have forced me and compelled me to do things I know are wrong. Now, here's what that means. That means when you're baptized, that means you're freed from anything that's holding you back. I don't care what that is. It can be drugs. It can be alcohol. It can be resentment. It can be bitterness. I don't know how many Christians suffer with things that happened to them in the past. Hurts, wounds, offenses that do way more damage than alcohol, drugs, anything else. How many Christians suffer and struggle with pornography? Struggle with issues in life? And it's needless. It's needless. As long as those issues are not dealt with in your life, you are being governed by the wrong heart. Because those issues come up and the enemy uses them against you. And every time something starts going right, something ugly comes up. And it comes up from within. And today, it's about you and I understanding that if you have not been baptized in water, you need to. You need to, because you know what's inside of you that you need power over. It doesn't mean that you'll never have a bad thought. It doesn't mean that you'll never consider something wrong. What it means is when those things come up, you have authority over them, they no longer have authority over you. So old things pass away and all things become new. And you become bigger on the inside, like I've said to you for decades. You were, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, you were born in the heart of God before you came into this world. Paul said that very clearly. You and I were picked, plucked out of God's heart in eternity and put into this world. And God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. And his purpose and his plan have absolutely nothing to do with your race, your color, your educational background, your creed. It has nothing to do. The kingdom of God on the inside of you has no color, has no culture, has no race, has no creed. It is colorless and raceless to the kingdom of God. It's also without a denomination. How many Christians go, well, I'm Lutheran, you know, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm crazy charismatic and Pentecostal. I'm any one of those. Listen to me, when you're blood bought and you're washed in the blood of Jesus, I don't care what label they put on you. If you're born again in here, the label on the outside can't change what's going on the inside. You watch what's going to happen with all of this that's going on governmentally, with what's taking place. You're finally seeing the body of Christ come together, and nobody's going, what church do you go to? I don't have to go to church. I am the church. The kingdom of God. Don't get me wrong now. I believe in going to church. That's why there's a chair here for you and you're here. But the process is to understand that the kingdom and the constitution of the kingdom of God rules inside of us. Now, here I have this final question for you. If you haven't been baptized in water, why not? Say, well, wait a minute. I was sprinkled when I was young. I understand that. But the word baptize is the Greek word baptismo, and it means immerse. So no matter how long they sprinkle you, they can turn a fire hose on you. That ain't an immersion. Say, well, does that mean I'm not baptized? According to the scriptures, no, you have to be immersed. Just have to have a tank full of water over. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm not ready. I didn't come with a change of clothes. Oh, so now we're going to let your clothes keep you from being free and know a liberty on the inside? Don't do what I did for 2 years. Don't do it. It's not worth it. So, you say, well, wait a minute, I was already baptized, but why do I feel this stirring on the inside to get baptized again? I have no problem. I will hold you down until the bad bubbles stop. That good enough? Because I'll tell you what, God's plan for us is to be free. To be free so that we can live a life of conviction. To understand that we are ruled from the inside and we're not rebellious. I love America. I thank God for America. I thank God for the United States of America. Give God a praise for our nation. But I'm going to be ruled from the inside. And so this is how we're going to finish this today. You say, well, I'm not even sure I know Jesus. That can be solved right here, right now. Because you see, that picture of that all dark heart needs to be touched by the blood and the forgiveness of Jesus. Well, what does that mean? What do I have to do? Do I have to go to a class? No, it's very simple. It's so simple, it's profound. Jesus said, all you have to do is confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. Believe that I, Jesus, died on the cross for your sin. I've forgiven you for every sin you've ever committed and ever will commit. I paid once for them all. And I'm ready, Jesus says, to embrace you right here, right now. I'm ready to come in to your heart and change your dark heart for a blood-bought, blood-purchased heart. Cleanse you. So, well, what do I need to do? Do I need to? All you need to do is say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to confess him as Lord and Savior. Now, if you're ready to do that, then I highly encourage you to come over here to the tank when the service is over, and we're all going to meet over here. And if you're going to be baptized, and again, I go back to you, if you have given your life to Christ and you've been baptized before or you didn't come being ready, trust me, after you get out of the water, 10 minutes outside that door, you'll be dry. You'll drip dry, friend. But while you're drip drying, you'll experience a level of freedom and liberty. Would you bow your heads, please? I want to ask you this question, my friend. Do you know where you're going when you die? Pray, saints, pray. Please pray. Do you know where you're going when you die? Because that's how you know whether Jesus really is in your life. God forbid, but let's say you get in your car and you take off down Girard and you get to the intersection and you get T-boned and you die in your car. Do you know where you're going? If you have any doubt that you're going to be with Jesus when you die, then you know about him, but you don't know him personally. And that's very simple. All you have to do is confess, I need Jesus in my life. Pray, saints, pray with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If that's you and you're saying, Pastor, I don't know for sure. I didn't ask you if you go to church. I didn't ask you if you own a Bible or read it. I asked you, do you know where you're going? And if you're not sure, let's make it sure today. And as I go down your aisle, if you're not sure and you want to make it sure, you simply look up at me and make eye contact. And that's your way of saying, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And if I don't see your eyes and I don't point right at you, you wave your hand at me. Over here. Is that what you want, sir? God bless you, sir. Back here. Back here. Sir, is that what you want? God bless you, sir. Over here. Sir, is that what you want? You looking at me for that? God bless you. Ma'am, is that what you want? God bless you, ma'am. Ma'am, is that what you want? Okay. God bless you. Over here. Is that what you want, ma'am? Both of you? Is that what you want? God bless you. Over here. If I don't point right at you, wave your hand at me. I don't want to miss you. Pray, saints, pray. Over here. Over here. Over here. Church, would you look up? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this simple prayer. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross to forgive me of my sin. I want to live with eternal life in this life. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Welcome to the family of God.